Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now let's read together, please. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Father, I pray that you would bless us now. Please give our pastor strength and help him during this time, not feeling real well. So God, give him your grace and your help as he comes, because we need to hear from heaven today. So please, Holy Spirit, fill him, control him, help him, and help us to hear what you have for us individually today. God, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ, the one that stood at the door and knocked, and is standing at the door and knocks, I pray they'd trust him today if they don't know him. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to Revelation 3:20 and keep that text in front of you, please. And also, of course, make sure your cell phone is turned off and make sure it does not go off in the service. Now, I know sometimes health reasons require us to get up and go out for a moment, but I'm going to ask that you sit very still, if at all possible, and listen very carefully today. This passage in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 is sort of a concluding passage to seven churches. The book of the Revelation, most of us associate the book with prophecy, last days, and a good portion of it has to do with that. But in reality, the book of the Revelation is a book that was written to seven churches. Churches just like this one. Churches that the Lord had looked at in Revelation chapter 1. The Bible says Jesus did an inspector general inspection of those churches. The Bible said he walked up and down in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In other words, he was examining his church in Revelation 2 and 3 is his report. What did he see in these seven churches? The last of the seven churches is the church of Laodicea. If you read the first part of those six other churches, it'll say to the angel of the church in Sardis, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, this church was the church of Laodicea. That little statement is important. They had become like the community in which they lived. He didn't have a lot of good things to say about this church. Matter of fact, when he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth, it means you make me sick. He wasn't real pleased with the Laodicean church. And then Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now I want to take that this morning, that statement there that Jesus made to this church, and I want to give you three simple applications to Revelation 3:20 this morning. Now let's be clear about something. This is Jesus talking to a church. Not just a religious organization, not a denomination. He's talking to a local New Testament, visible assembly, a blood-washed, water-baptized, Bible-believing believers kind of church. And he gives his report here, and then he says to this church, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Application number one I want us to get from this is this. There's what's called the direct application. I believe the Lord meant this to be to every unsaved person on this planet, that he is standing at their life door and he is knocking to try to get admission and asking. Now listen, Jesus, we're not Calvinists. We don't believe that you're elected to salvation. I believe in election and I believe in predestination and I believe in the sovereignty of God. It just has nothing to do with a Protestant doctrine invented by a guy back in the 16th century. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. What we do know is this: Jesus is standing outside the heart door of every individual on this planet, and he is knocking and asking permission to come in. And each and every person must understand they must open the door to Jesus themselves. That's why there's no universal salvation. That's why there's no collective salvation. That's why there's no ecclesiastical salvation. In other words, nobody's church can save anybody. Nobody's religion can do that for them. Nobody can give you what Jesus is standing outside your heart's door knocking and asking to give you. And that is this. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So listen, you're not a Christian because you believe in him. You're not, listen, he could stand out there and knock all day long and you could believe that's Jesus standing out there knocking. But until you hear his voice and open the door and he comes in and sups with you and you with him, until that time that you receive Christ, you do not have salvation. We got way too many people think Christians are people who believe in Jesus. He could stand out all day long and knock on the door. That would not get admission. You have to open the door to receive Christ. That means you must make a decision, a personal, definite, distinct decision in your life where you realize, and the voice of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is this book right here that tells you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This voice of Jesus that I hold in my hand this morning tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. His voice tells us today, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. His voice is telling us this morning, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. His voice is saying this morning, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's Jesus making that statement. He's knocking. And he's knocking on the heart door, I believe, of every lost person on this planet. Some of them don't realize that the situation of their life is the Lord knocking on their heart's door. See, most of us will get saved after a time of trial or difficulty. Most of us will get saved after we've gone through some kind of battle or struggle. Most of us will get saved in a difficult time of life, not a peaceful time. But that's all right. That just means you were wise enough to respond. I was talking to a man one day, and he said, well, I'm going through a lot of hard times, and I don't want to be that kind of person who just goes to the Lord because he's having trouble. I said, go to the Lord no matter what trouble you're having, no matter what your situation is, sir. I said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is it. This is your moment. He doesn't care what you're going through in the sense that he doesn't want you to keep you from coming to Christ because of it. He just wants you to come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The direct application, I believe, is to every lost person on this planet. Yes, I believe that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, I believe in the whosoever verses in the Bible. I believe God's desires that everyone would be saved. No, will everyone be saved? No, but that's not God's problem. God has done everything he can to provide salvation, ladies and gentlemen. And if you and I would be willing to turn to him, repentance of faith and accept Jesus' payment as our salvation and nothing else, and receive him and open the heart door and receive Christ, you'd have salvation today. It's that simple, you know. The direct application of Revelation 3:20 also applies to the church, I believe. See, what amazes me is this is a church, people. Look here, this is a church. And Jesus is standing outside the door of a church, not in a mosque. This is not a mosque. It's not a Hindu peace temple. It's not some religious organization. This is his church, the church he loved and gave himself for. And the Bible said Jesus is standing outside the door of his own church, knocking and asking permission to come in. Can I ask you a question? Does that not sound something, isn't there something wrong with that? Isn't there something wrong with a church that calls itself a Christian church, talks about Jesus, believes in Jesus, and yet Jesus is outside the door of many churches today that name the name of Christ? Back up a few verses there, would you? To verse number 18, and I'll show you why. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Those three things he mentions there are why Jesus is outside of many churches. The gold he's talking about here is the treasure and the richness of his word. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Jesus's mission to a church is in direct relation to what do they do with the Bible. Isn't it amazing? You go to churches today, you can sit there for 45 minutes or an hour, you hear all kinds of singing, all kinds of entertainment, you see all kinds of stuff going on, and no Bible. Very little scripture in this thing. Where's the preaching of the word of God? Whatever happened to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's very rare anymore if I'm traveling somewhere on a vacation that I'll just go into a church somewhere, a Baptist church obviously. Say, why is that, Pastor Johnson? Because I'm a Baptist. Hey, someone said the snow on the Rocky Mountains is just all these Baptists who moved out to California from back east and threw their letter out the window as they passed over. Now they get in the sloppy agape crowd. I go to Baptist churches, but you know what? Anymore, it's almost like, what's the point? It's embarrassing to go to some churches that call themselves a Baptist church. Last time I checked it, Baptists were kind of big on Bible authority. Baptists were big on having the scripture and the word of God and the hymns that speak the truths of God's word and things. Now you go to some churches, you sit there for an hour and think, I just threw an hour of my life away. Gold tried in the fire, the richness of God's word. A church that does not major on the word of God does not allow the Son of God inside of their building. Then he says, look, and that thou white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. White raiment in the Bible is a picture of salvation. Now that once you accept Christ as your Savior, he gives you the robe of righteousness in his sight. It's justification. It's a sad thing to think that many churches that preach Christ do not preach Christ for salvation. They don't lift him up. They preach baptism. They preach church membership. They preach good works. Or they'll talk about receiving Christ, but then if you don't live it, you lose it. Excuse me, but that's not preaching Christ either. Salvation and security are twins. They go together in the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. And we need that, and that's a white raiment, a garment you can't go out and purchase and buy. It's already been paid for and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's pure, simple salvation. There are people in our city, now we've been here almost 31 years, it'll be 31 years this August. There are people who live in the city of Redding, California, who will not come to this church until they have relatives come. And when their relatives come, they go to something else. When their relatives come, they'll bring them here for church. And I guess they think it's a compliment, and in a sense, I suppose it is. They'll say, oh, Pastor, my aunt and uncle are here, and they're unsaved, and I know at our church they don't preach the gospel like we preach, like you preach it here, so I'm bringing my relatives over here. And I know they think that's a compliment, but you know what, ladies and gentlemen? To me, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Preach the pure, simple blood of Jesus Christ for salvation. And then he said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that you can see. Here's what happens. Churches today don't seem to want to open people's eyes to what's going on. It's like somehow or another we're blinded. Well, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians that the God of this world blinds the minds of people so they can't see what they're supposed to see. Hey, look at me. We need to go to a church that kind of has the cataract thing on us every Sunday to clear up the vision, clear up our sight so we can actually look at what we see and understand in relation to the Word of God, by the way, in relation to what the Bible says. Well, Pastor, that doesn't fit in every situation. No, every situation doesn't fit in the Bible. The Bible fits in any situation. The Bible can fix anything. We don't change what we believe so it can match. We don't change the Bible so it can match what we believe. We change what we believe so it can match the Bible. And some of us need to get our eyes opened about things. Last Sunday night, I'm not going to say Facebook, but one time this morning. That's it. Hit it last Sunday night. My soul, you think I slapped somebody's mother. It's unbelievable how we nailed that thing. And it's unbelievable how some people can't see what this preacher was trying to help them with. I'm thinking to myself, have I lost my mind? Am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth? Look at me, folks. We need to go to a church where our eyes get open about the truth of life and what the Bible says so we can see it clearly, because the world's out there telling us what to believe. They don't wait on us. The devil doesn't give you that chance. Oh, no, he'll teach you. You go to the grocery store today and pick up a loaf of bread. Before you get from the bread section to the checkout counter to your car, the devil's going to teach you everything he can possible about what he believes and why. Then we go to church that preaches the Bible and we think, well, what's that all about? I'll tell you what it is. It's time for some eye surgery. So our vision gets cleared up. Wouldn't hurt to fix some things about the way we hear and listen to things too. There's the direct application of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Number two, there's the dispensational application. I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. I do believe that there are certain things that the Bible says at one time do not apply now. There has to be. We don't sacrifice animals anymore. We don't go to the temple. We don't observe the Sabbath. We don't have holy days. Every day is a holy day, and any day at Popeye's is a holy day. I was telling my class this morning, 6 o'clock this morning, I was puking my guts out. bad. This morning, I'm telling you, I'm getting cramps in my legs this morning. And the truth of the matter is, what I need, excuse me, what I need is some Popeye Spicy's fried chicken. That would settle all of my problems. Hey, if you're going to throw up something good. You know what I'm saying? Get in there and throw up granola. That's a waste of time. You want to throw up something, throw up something decent. Yes? That's what made America great. Anyway, the truth of the matter is we don't offer holy days. We don't offer sacrifices. Look here. But ladies and gentlemen, there are certain things that do apply in a dispensational sense, and here it is. In the book of the Revelation, look here, there are seven churches. Those seven churches, if you break them down according to the time Christ started the church during his earthly ministry until today, those seven churches, in the order the Bible gives them, because the Bible's always right, and it's always perfect, and it's always on target. You take those seven churches, you can lay them right down across the 2,000 plus years of church history, Jesus' church, the true church. And you can find that church that during that era was like Ephesus, a soul-winning church, etc. The last church is the church of Laodicea. It was a church that was lukewarm. A church, by the way, that had all the trappings. Had their tile map on the wall, had carpet on the floor, padded seats. Some of you folks don't remember what it was like in the old church building when we had wooden benches. You had to bring your own padding. Many of us are still holding out in case they come back, so we keep that padding, so we still, anyway. But the truth is, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. We got a Laodicean church today in many ways that's a lukewarm church. It's not hot, and it's not cold. It's not on fire, but it's not dead either. It's just kind of, it's there. And to the Laodicean church at the end, Jesus comes to this church and says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Here's what that means dispensationally. Jesus is coming soon. He's standing in heaven waiting for the orders from the Father to come down to this earth. Now that all these nutballs have stopped predicting the return of Christ, every one of them has missed it every time. They always miss it. Anybody that sets the date for the return of Christ has always missed the date. You can't do that. The Bible says don't do it. And if the Bible says don't do it, don't do it. All we know is this. We're not supposed to be looking for a date. We're supposed to be looking for Him. This is the day. I believe today would be the good day. You know what it is? It's the 9th of March, ladies and gentlemen. In 1 month and 6 days, taxes are due. I hope it comes April the 14th at 11:59. Trump of God sounds, dead in Christ, rise first, which I think, frankly, is going to be a Sunday morning. Seriously. Guy in a Methodist church a while back here dropped over dead, a heart attack. The ambulance people came in, picked up three people before they got the right guy. You know, there's a lot of churches that are just dead in a doorknob, quite frankly. And the truth is, here's what happens. We don't seem to understand something. We got this laid back, laid out, just come to church, get a little religion, get a little touch of Jesus, and get up and go home kind of Christianity. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that's lukewarm. It's not bad, but it's not good. It's not right where it ought to be, but it's not where it's not all day way wicked either. And we're a lukewarm kind of church today. To that church, he says, you better get ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We were in Bible college. One of our professors was talking about when he was a single young man in the dormitories in his Bible college. They had this guy in their dormitory was Mr. Gullible. You know what those people are like. They're so much fun. People like me just sit around and think of ways to get them because they're so gullible. They'll believe anything. And during this conference they had at the Bible college, they were preaching on the second coming of Christ a lot. And everyone was getting excited about the return of the Lord. So they all decided they're going to get Mr. Goble. So they sent him out for pizza. And then everybody went around and set up their floor in their dormitory to look like Jesus had come back. They turned on the showers, threw soap on the floor. They went in and put clothes in a chair with the legs like this, the socks, the shoes piled up, the shirts, the sleeve kind of leaning over a typewriter, put pajamas in a bed with a sleeve hanging out like that, a pile of clothes right in the middle of the hallway, shoes, socks, shirt, pants, shirt, everything piled up. They made it look like the trump of God sounded, boom, and everybody was gone. And then they all went and hid at the end of the hallway. One guy had his trumpet with him. Mr. Goble walks in with a pizza. Hey, fellas! And this guy stuck his trumpet to the door and went, boop, boop! He thought, what in the world was that? Then he saw the pile of clothes on the floor. He walked by the bathroom. He looked in the shower, and there was bars of soap, but nobody in the shower. He went in his room, and there was his roommate's clothes draped over the There was pajamas in a bed with no pajama guy in it. And he starts thinking, oh no, oh no. And he goes and he gets his Bible out like this and he's walking down the hallway and he's going, yeah, 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 I did that. Yeah, 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 I did that. And finally he just stops and goes, hey, you forgot me. There are going to be a lot of people go up to heaven with their mouth open. Yes? Trying to grab their bank account on the way up, the bumper of their truck. Trying to hold on to that boat. Trying to get something to go up with them when they go because they're so dug in on this life. I said, Jesus says he's standing at the door knocking to a lukewarm church to remind them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. We can't make Jesus come back any closer or any sooner or any more early than he's already planned to do. And the Father already knows that time. So we can't make it happen any sooner. Our job is to be ready like Jesus could come today because he could. I'm still amazed we made it to 2014. This is 2014, isn't it? 2014. I'm still amazed we made it this far. It's amazing to me. Then there's one more application this morning. And that's what I call the devotional application. See, to the church, Jesus is talking and he's saying, hey, Christian, I'm standing at the door of your day today. I'm wanting to know if you want me to come in and walk with you. You know the old hymn in the garden? I won't sing it for you because my voice is all messed up from vomiting. That's a thought you want to maintain right before lunch, so just stay with me. Hey, I got nothing in my stomach either, so just bear with me, all right? I got something up my nose that won't go back, but I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, let's just leave that thought out for just a moment. Why do you do that, preacher? Why should I suffer? By myself. Get in on it. He's standing at the door of every day of your life, child of God, and saying, if anyone will hear my voice and open the door. You know what that means? Fellowship is not a forced thing with the Lord. As much as he wants fellowship with you, my friend, as much as he desires fellowship with you. See, how do you know, Pastor? Because of the cross. Jesus came, died on the cross to give us salvation from hell and fellowship with God again. That's how badly he wants fellowship with you. He was willing to make that payment for you. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you now have the opportunity of unhindered, unfettered, unlimited fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. But he won't make you let him in. I wonder this morning, if we compared your time of things that you did in your life throughout this week to the time you spent in the Word of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, I wonder if we'd know why we're having the problems we're having in our lives. Because he's still knocking. Do you know what that means? That means somehow or another he got pushed out of our lives some way. He's not, look at me, he's not in the place he once had before. It's a very sad story. It's a Christmas time story in this upper state of Michigan. The dead of winter. The house this couple lived in had a detached garage, and they were a couple days before Christmas. They had all their presents out in the garage to keep them away from their children, and then they would go out and wrap them and bring them in, put them under the tree. Late one night, Mom and Dad were out there. They were wrapping presents to get ready for Christmas. It was a cold night, a lot of snow on the ground, freezing temperatures. Unbeknownst to them, their little girl had gotten up, about 5 years old, and went outside to try and find her mom and daddy. They finished what they did in the garage, never saw her, went from the garage back into the house, went to bed that night. Got up the next morning and found their little frozen body at the front porch. But what really haunted them was they walked around and they saw her little footprints going from door to door to door to door. That means that little baby was standing out there in that freezing cold weather. Nobody could hear. Tragedy, isn't it? Well, I say, I bet you that ruined their Christmas, Pastor Johnson. Did you know Jesus was there this morning? Did you know that? When it says he knocks at the door, it doesn't say he beats it down. He just knocks. Do we care to hear and listen? We've got too much of a superficial kind of Christianity that just survives on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis, and it's nothing real with him on a day-by-day basis in our lives. But I assure you, my friend, every day he comes and knocks on the heart door of your life, Christian friend, and he wants a devotional kind of time with you where you walk with him and talk with him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Some of us have left him out. Some of us don't listen as intently as we once did. Too busy, you know. Because that's how life is, right? We're busy now, aren't we? And we are. And too busy. Some of us once had a place for him in our lives and his place is not there anymore. Now someone or something else has taken that place that Jesus once had. And now he is relegated to standing outside. Hey, friend. Hey, friend. Open the door. Set some other things aside and open the door. And every day of your life, walk with him and spend time with the Lord Jesus. Let us stand our feet, please, this morning.